Block one of phase four includes indoor and outdoor stadiums, as well as arenas and ballparks like Gillette Stadium, Fenway Park, and TD Garden.
Woohoo!
We are all Patriots.
Suck on it.
Dale Arnold.
I don't think that Deshaun Watson should try and sit out. You know, you look at James Harden, he showed up in a fat man's suit and he got his wishes.
Rich Keefe.
You can play it all you want if you think Nick Ritchie is this great player all of a sudden.
Wheels it to Jakob Sabolton. Ritchie, he scores!
Dalen Keefe with Fitzy.
Is it because of my perfectly coiffed, fresh out of the shower hair?
Is it because of my
magnum dong?
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fourth and final hour, Dalen Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. Nick Fitzy Stevens is in the house with us as we've been rambling around the sports landscape all day long. We already talked to Adam Ottavino, ostensibly the Red Sox closer for this coming season, although Matt Barnes might argue with that. You can find all of the interviews that we have on our website, weei.com. It's kind of a Red Sox day. Chris Sale was on this morning on the Greg Hill Show. We had Adam Ottavino on earlier in the program. And Alex Cora makes his first appearance of the season coming up this afternoon on with OMF. And Rich knows this because we've had experience with Alex on a regular basis. One of the better weekly interviews for a sports figure in this town.
I was going to say, all three, Sale, Ottavino, and Cora, are good with the media. They're good on the air. It's just going to be a matter of how good is the team this year. Because those guys, I think, will be good. Given the opportunity, you know, you're going to hear from Cora every day. That is one of the jobs. We talk about the jobs of the manager. That is one of them. When you really stop and think about how often they have to answer questions before and after every game to the media or to, like, the press conferences. They also do the radio hit pregame. They do the once-a-week radio hit during the week locally. They're occasionally asked to do national spots. Like, they talk nonstop. That's going to probably be the most, the toughest. I don't know if it's the toughest.
It's exhausting.
Good at it. But, yeah, that's the word I was looking for. The most exhausting part of the job.
Now, do you think managers now prefer to just be able to, like, finish the game, grab their, you know, line up their little Poland Springs or their Aquafinas, whatever, sit down and do the Zoom table? Or do they miss the days of, like, sitting in the office, feet up on the desk, and a couple, you know, doing either the regular press or having guys come into the office and, like, person to person, the way real relationships used to form between players or the manager and the media?
It's easier to do the Zoom. You don't have to move. But I think they prefer to look Johnny Miller in the eye when he's ripping you.
Although it is more fitting for baseball because it's become more and more robotic and more
right.
Just like computers are taking over. So the fact that they have to do these interviews through computers kind of makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and in football, like a Belichick 25-second pause.
It's so much better in person.
It's awkward AF on Zoom, but man, there is nothing
in
better
person,
than the death stare and the pause in person.
That's a treat.
I give Bruce Cassidy credit for his pregame Zoom session an hour or so ago. He had a crackling fireplace in the background.
Wow.
Good for him.
Yeah. Crisp in the air.
Nice little fireplace going.
You know what? And you know what? On Monday, gentlemen, I'll make sure that my virtual background, when you join us on our Twitch stream or watch videos on Twitter from our WEEI simulcast here, I'll make sure it's a background from the from Hammond Stadium. Was just able to score a couple of tickets for Sox and Twins on Sunday.
Congratulations, Fitzy.
Yeah.
You're taking an old ball game.
Gonna take the boys up for a couple of hot dogs and go watch the Red Sox in their premier effort in the 2021 spring campaign. So
maybe it'll just be a nice game.
What's that?
Mayor's Cup game. They're taking out the Twins,
is,
right?
Yeah, Mayor's Cup game.
Oh, it's the Mayor's Cup.
Well, the whole series.
The winner of
the most games between the two wins the Mayor's Cup.
You want to get a head start.
Very prestigious.
Though,
I mean, you thought the Stanley Cup was important.
Wow.
Mayor's Cup kills it.
Look at that. A day lived where you learn something new. That's a day better.
So we've got more information coming out now as we've gone along about Tom Brady. First of all, as we said earlier in the week, evidently the knee issue that he had taken care of at the end of the season was a little more than a normal cleanup, because Bruce Arians said he's going to be out until at least June. Not that they think that this is a long-term issue, but it, you know, puts him on the sidelines for a while.
4 months.
Yeah, it's and I'll repeat this for your sake, Fitzy. What I was told by somebody in a position to know was that what Brady had done was more along the lines as far as how extensive it was with what Julian Edelman had done.
So now, something that
Edelman's different.
Okay, like a tune-up. He kind of needs to be able to pivot and cut a little bit quicker, a little more often, a little more integral to his job. But so it's like overdue maintenance that, if handled correctly, would take a while to recover from. Thereby, now it makes sense that Edelman didn't rush it back because he could have played through it, damaged it further, and then that was definitely the end of his career. Or we kind of suck now. I'll take the rest of the year off and see if I can squeeze out one or two more years. Okay, I got it. I'm just wondering what takes 4 months. I mean, was Brady was it a meniscus, you wonder? Was it maybe like a PCL?
I wasn't told that. What I was told was that it was, and Ben Volen reported this as well. I was told it was more extensive than a cleanup. It wasn't, let's go ahead and snip some things out of there and away you go. You know, quick scope, you can be running by Friday type of thing. I was told it was more than that, which normally wouldn't be that big a deal, except he's 43, going to be 44 at the beginning of the next season.
Well, looks like Belichick made the right decision after that.
Again, Fitzy says Bill Belichick right again.
He's the guy. Yep.
So Tampa Bay quarterback coach Clyde Christensen, have you noticed that Tampa Bay coaches talk everywhere? I mean, they're all over the place.
Why not?
There's
a victory lap. Mm-hmm. Why not?
Yep. My wounds that will never heal, feel the salt and the lemon every time, Dale.
Uh-huh. So Clyde Christensen went on the Zach Gelb show. Zach is a former intern. Of ours here at WEEI.
Great.
He's got his own
too.
Show now. He's a big star. And Christensen was asked if Tom Brady ever opened up to him about the process of leaving the Patriots.
Yes. The answer is yes. And the part that I'd share with you probably would be the first time I met him, and I had never met him before we picked him up. He said, you know, one of the things that really looked fun and challenging to him was what Peyton did at Denver. Peyton leaves Indy, where he had done magnificent things, and goes to Denver and goes to two Super Bowls, you know. So there was something about that challenge that hit him right.
So we can blame Peyton Manning for something else?
Well, we should anyway.
This is Peyton's fault? If Peyton Manning just stayed with the Colts, he wouldn't have felt this way? That's unreal.
So the
idea here, Peyton Manning played a hand in him leaving.
Now I hate him even more.
So the idea here, I guess, is that, you know, well, Peyton went and won a Super Bowl with two different franchises. You know, maybe I can show I can do that. I can't imagine that Tom Brady felt he had anything left to prove to Peyton Manning or anybody else in the football universe, but you know, we don't know what drives these guys, and maybe
I guess that does. I mean, I don't think this guy would lie about it. So, I mean, he must have said that, and obviously he measured himself against Peyton Manning, and why wouldn't you? You know, back and forth for a while. That was the best rivalry in football. It wasn't teams. It was Peyton and Brady for the longest time.
1,000%.
And that was something that he did. And people would give credit for that. And it's just like, you know, Joe Gibbs gets a lot of credit for winning Super Bowls with multiple quarterbacks. Even though it was the same franchise for him, it was all these different quarterbacks. And we were talking about Andy Reid. Even though he didn't win a Super Bowl with the Eagles, he got there with the Eagles. He got there and won it with the Chiefs. So doing something with a different franchise, not that Brady needed to be elevated anymore, certainly not in my eyes, but I think around the league, and apparently Brady himself, he thought that is another challenge that he wanted to take on.
And just think about it, Dale. If Brady knows that he's at a negotiating stalemate with Belichick, and he's won and he's done more than any other quarterback, any other player, he has now surpassed Montana. He has surpassed Charles Haley. He, as an individual, has more Super Bowl rings than anyone else in the league. He would have signed the deal to stay here, and that's all he would have known, which is how we all wish it kind of went. But, you know, that's in the past, and it is what it is. But once he gets to that point, he's got to be thinking, like, all right, I mean, just why not go, you know, I'm not going to really damage my reputation.
But isn't that kind of crazy that...
Why not go see if I can do something else?
If you take him at his word for it, like, it's almost seen as a bad thing to play your whole career with one team. Or not a bad thing, but it's almost seen as sort of not as impressive to do it with one franchise. Like,
oh, you're one of those single franchise guys? How bouge of you.
Like, I think it's almost more impressive because... Not almost. I think it is more impressive just to be on one team and have that kind of success because, you know, you're talking about all the different teammates that you had to have over that time. Like, you couldn't just LeBron James it and be like, oh, you guys aren't doing anything in Cleveland. I'll leave until you get multiple first overall picks, and then I'll come back. And then I'm going to leave again and go team up with another guy who's one of the best in the league. Like, hopping around to different teams isn't as impressive as one team, and you start to look at all the different teammates. I was looking at it the other day. the Patriots draft classes. So Brady obviously was drafted in 2000. And between 2000 and 2009, there's only like two other active players. It's like Slater, Gostkowski, and,
right.
you know, I, well, whenever Edelman was drafted, it was at 10. But
2009.
Like, these guys aren't even in the league anymore, let alone like on his team or playing somewhere else. So I don't know. That's odd that he looked at Peyton Manning and was like, oh, yeah, that's something I want to do.
All right. So at the risk of playing radio, if
what we do.
If Tom felt part of the reason for doing this was because of Peyton Manning, and Peyton did it, so I have to show I can do it. Is he going to feel compelled to do it for a third team just to show that he's better than Peyton Manning?
Dear God.
Well, so now y'all playing radio. Got it.
I'm just asking if you think.
Well, no, because he, first of all, he already is better than Peyton. He's a lot better than Peyton.
Well, we thought he was better than Peyton before he won this
Super
Bowl.
No, I know. But now, but Peyton didn't win. Peyton won one in each, right? Didn't he go 1-1 in each?
Peyton?
Did he go to.
He went to four Super Bowls and he won two. And, and I'm
but 1-1
like,
in each location is my
on
point.
On a different day, Rich. On a different day, I'll be happy to entertain the much better than Peyton debate. I think he's Brady is better than Peyton, but I don't think he's like much better than Peyton. Longevity wise, yes.
No, I think
he's much better.
In terms of his ability,
choking away home playoff games to Philip Rivers.
I understand that, but I think Brady. I think people in our neck of the woods, nape of the woods, neck of the way. What are you doing here? People in our that's Caddyshack Dale.
I know.
Okay. Yeah. Pool of the pond, Dale. Pool of the pond be good for you. So I think people in our part of the woods criminally underrate how good Peyton Manning was.
Nope. I think he's properly rated, and it's way, way below Tom Brady.
And don't get me wrong. He is a great Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yes.
We're not underrating how good he was. But there's great Hall of Fame quarterback in Peyton Manning, and then there's greatest whoever lived in Tom Brady, and there's a gap between.
And I'm not besmirching Tom Brady. This isn't part of the whole like Fitzy turned on Brady. That's not the way this is going. By the way, apparently that was a literal under bridge troll.
Oh, it's a bridge troll. Oh, I got it. He's coming out just to talk.
No, but like, she a great big fat person. I believe Brady is the greatest of all time by a country mile. I just think people always tell
country
like, oh yeah, Peyton sucks.
Country mile.
He doesn't. Peyton Manning. If
we
anything,
we never said he sucked. We just said he's a great.
But a lot of people do like legitimately think he kind of sucks, or that he wasn't
that
really
like
even
a straw man argument. I don't hear a lot of people say.
I need one more Super Bowl appearance out of Aaron Rodgers, and I'll say he's better than Peyton Manning. He's right there. He's
interesting. See, the thing I think Peyton Manning did was I believe Peyton Manning. The whole entire idea, Dale, of audibilizing at the line, calling out the protections, and doing everything. Peyton introduced
which
that sort of
practically ruined the game for me.
But that's the way it's played now, and the whole Minority Report movement and everything, and shifting this guy over here. And
how did that ruin the game for you?
Yeah, that's what Peyton introduced.
The whole Peyton thing at the line of scrimmage used to just drive me nuts.
Yeah, but it's not like it slows
your
the
life
game
is better
down.
For Omaha.
There's a play clock. It's not like he can do it all day. Like he's still got to snap the ball on time. I don't know. That didn't really bother me. I always just thought he was a boob, but
well, that too.
So Shime thinks that I love your choice of words there.
Yeah.
Shime thinks that Mahomes is a dink, and you think Peyton is a boob.
Correct.
Got it. Okay.
That's it.
We're sort
that's
of it. Obsessed with body parts, aren't
no,
we?
No, that's the tweet.
The only way to describe somebody is
and Andy Hart thinks he's a butthole just because that's the body that's part that
John
that Andy's
to. John just looked over at the dump button. Like, do I have to?
do I have to get across the room?
It's
in the
scientific
time?
Term, so no, you're all set.
Well, the way Andy used it yesterday was a dumpable.
Oh
method
no, it
of
was.
Using
oh
it.
No,
the way Dale just used it, it's fine.
Correct.
Right.
Well, that's the difference between a radio professional.
I've been at it
longer
than Andy has.
And whenever I say it around the house, I have to put 25 cents in the jar. So obviously, my kids are going to be going to college on a pile of quarters.
You guys have a beehole jar?
You don't?
Of course not.
Well, you don't have kids.
Yeah.
Oh,
Fitzy actually lost it all during Shime's bets this year. So
that's Dale. That's what we had to dip into.
Yeah,
had to dip into the beehole jar.
617-779-7937. Rob's out on Nantucket. Hey, Rob.
How's it going, guys? This is my first call ever. So I was just wondering, switching to the Bruins a little bit, watching that kid Matt Barzal last night, it's just hard to think on how Don Sweeney let him get away. It's taken Zach Sitchin or however you say his name. But I was just wondering on how can he move on from that and how can the Bruins, like, I know they're obviously one of the
top
10
teams. How can he move on from that? How can he move on?
No, my question is, I'm just kind of all over the place. But how can he kind of take the next step to put the Bruins on really that number one team in the NHL? Because obviously, looking at last night, there's a couple key holes he can do.
But you're not going to overreact to last night's game, are you?
I mean, no. I'm just like obviously.
I mean, it's a good point on Barzal though, because I feel
Barzal
like
Barzal was drafted 16th overall back in 2015. And you know, there were a bunch of teams in the NHL who made a mistake. And
but nobody had three straight picks in front of them.
I know.
That's insane. And we do it all the time in all the other sports. You know, we'll cherry pick A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, drafted after N'Keal Harry, or guys in the NBA that Ainge passed on.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge one. Because to this point, until this year where Zboril looks like a pro, we didn't know really much about Zboril. DeBrusque, I feel like, has been some good, some bad.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, like hot and cold, streaky player, and then Sinishin's like, okay, not an NHL player.
All right, so when Sweeney goes out and takes David Pastrnak 25th overall, doesn't that sort of make up a little bit for missing on Barzal? 25th overall for Pastrnak.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Who's got four straight 30 goal seasons? Led the league in goals a year ago, and 24 teams had the opportunity and said, "Nah, we're good."
Oh, yeah, no, they're definitely a good pick. I mean, same thing with Belichick and the same thing with Ainge.
Yep.
But I think the Barzal one, especially, like, at least it's starting to, I wouldn't say level out, but it's starting to get a little bit better because it looks like Zboril is a guy. But
he looks like a real player.
But for a while, Dale, that you go back to the 2015 first round, whether you like the players or not, you know, those guys weren't even playing. Zboril and Sinishin weren't even in the NHL, and yet you have all these other guys who at this point have 200, 300 games under their belts. So, yeah, I mean, it's worth calling out, especially when you see him head-to-head and you see what kind of career he's having.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We haven't done this in a while, but it's Friday and we want to have some fun. So we're going to talk about what we've been watching. It's coming up next, Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, but first we trend.
Now back to Dale and Keefe.
I'll let this cat out of the bag
on WEEI.
This meeting of the Dale and Keefe Movie Club is now in session.
You know, we did this mainly when there weren't sports to watch. And let's be honest, we were casting about for entertainment options in the evenings. And we would make movie recommendations from time to time. This isn't necessarily a movie recommendation, but it was just an opportunity for us to share with you guys and with each other, you know, things that we're watching right now. Besides sports, which thankfully we get a chance to see as well.
Yeah. What do you got, Dale?
I will kick it off. I loved I Care a Lot. On Netflix.
Oh, you watched the Tanguay movie.
You know what? And, oh, God, please don't let him hear me say this. I'm going to have to go back and watch it again to even see where he is in there.
He had a bunch of lines at the end.
At the end?
I won't spoil what he was doing or who he was talking to, but he had a bunch of lines at the end. And, yeah, because I knew he was in it. And as I was watching it, I was like, did I miss him? And then at the end, he popped up and he had a bunch of lines. You hear his voice. And it had nothing to do with Gary. Not a huge fan.
Oh, I loved this.
A huge fan.
Mm. Rosamund Pike became one of the great movie villains.
Yes,
I've ever seen.
Yes,
and the fact that she's a female movie villain is part of it, but she is badass in this movie.
But so you hate her, but
which
then,
is the idea, right?
You're supposed to hate her, but then there was so much of the movie that I feel like, did they want you to like her? And I'm like, I'm not going to. So I was very confused by how I was supposed to feel, because I'm like, I hate her. But the way it was being portrayed at some points was like, you wanted to be on her side. I'm like, I will never, ever be on her side. That's how I felt. Maybe people felt different.
The chief, I haven't watched it yet, but the chief complaint that I read, and I heard about it first from Tanger because I filled in for him for a couple weeks because he was filming his spot in the new Leonardo DiCaprio, Adam McKay movie. Not too shy about reminding us about that over and over again as he got paid $900 a day to sequester himself for COVID protocols.
I don't blame him. I'm looking
SAG
forward
life
to that
is
role.
Good life, baby. But yep. The thing I had seen and read the most was the people weren't really sure if, like, there were tonal shifts. And the movie doesn't really commit to either being, like, suspenseful or, like, a really dark comedy.
That's what I liked about it.
And I don't mind that either,
yeah,
but some people it bothers them a great deal. Like, some people just want their meat and potatoes delivered that way, and they want to be told what it is, and they want closure, and some people don't mind.
I loved Peter Dinklage in this movie.
Oh, the Dink is great.
Dink was good. He was real good.
I mean, you do get to see more of the dink than I need to see, if you know what I'm saying. Listen. When he's lying naked in the middle of the road. Just,
thank you for saying that, Clean.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
That almost, okay, yep. I had heard some stories about him way back in the day. He used to hang out in the Lower East Side of Manhattan well before he was Tyrion Lannister.
I mean, you do get to see more of the dink than I need to see. Yeah.
All right, there you go.
You got a Dinklage story, Fitz?
Oh, I used to host a weekly comedy variety show at a place in the Lower East Side called The Slipper Room with a couple of buddies, and he was friends with the owners, and he was there every week, and I used to just knock him back with the dink after the show for a long time.
Wow.
Very intense. Like, when you're in his presence, wow. I don't care if you're George Murison-sized, he owns the room, he owns
sure.
you. He has such an intense gaze, like yeah. when you talk to him, and that voice just
his
cuts
voice
through
incredible.
Everything. Like,
yeah.
"Hello, Nick. I enjoyed your show again this evening. Gosh, hi, hey, Peter. How are you, man? I loved. Hey, the station agent was great. Yes, thank you. I appreciate the fact that you took the time
he does
to
have
watch.
Great
it.
Pipes, doesn't he?
Incredible voice. Yeah.
And I had heard from a few friends who had a couple get-togethers. Frank Gore.
Kay. Mm-hmm. Hello.
Didn't see that part.
Hello.
We didn't see that. By the way,
Tyrion Lannister character kind of based a lot in reality.
Magnum Dong.
Thank you, John.
If you Google the I Care A Lot cast and then expand it out, Gary Tanguay is listed eighth on this list.
He's eighth in the billing?
Yeah. Eighth.
Yes. Because it's dominated by, like, the top four people on there have, like, almost all the lines.
Rosamund and who else?
Out of 34 people. Gary Tanguay is listed eighth. Rosamund Pike is unbelievable.
Yep.
Eliza Gonzalez is Fran, her girlfriend. Diane Wiest, who was great.
Love her.
As the mom.
Don't
Peter Dinklage. Don't speak. And then Chris Messina. Then Alicia Witt. I didn't know her name. All I knew is that when my wife is watching Hallmark movies in the Christmas season,
Alicia
Witt's in every single one of them.
Yes. Yeah, she's one of those people like, I've seen her before. Where have I seen her? The answer is everything.
And that's when she came out, I said, what have I seen her in? My wife said, every Hallmark Christmas movie that I watch. And
My favorite role for Alicia Witt was Urban Legend, one of these great 90s horror movies that was just sort of like a Scream ripoff. Awesome movie, though, and she's in that.
And in the insufferable continuation of my name dropping on a Friday, written by Silvio Horta, who I took four screenwriting classes with at NYU, and he lived on my floor my sophomore year at NYU.
There you
really?
Go.
He co-created, and Silvio...
If you ever talk to him again, tell him I am the fan of Urban Legend. I know there's not many.
It'll be difficult since he passed away.
Oh, but. No.
Fitzy, I don't take it back. If you talk to him... Tell him I love the movie.
He also right, so just to and complete, he created Ugly Betty too. Good
to
guy.
Complete the list. Alicia Witt is number six on the list. Scoot McNairy is number seven, and then Gary Tanguay, who is listed
Scoot
as
McNairy
TV
was,
interviewer.
Scoot was good in this. His character was pretty funny. But.
Scoot. All right, I'm going to try to watch
you know
that
what
by the weekend.
Me up? It was the fact that Tanguay didn't have hair.
No, he did not.
That was the part that messed me up. You know, when I finally realized, holy crap, that's him. It was like, it's too late. I'm just not used to seeing Gary Tanguay.
But the voice didn't give it away?
Yeah, the voice. You're right. So that's my, apparently to mixed reviews, but that's the thing that I watched
recently.
Yeah,
I didn't
love
the movie. Not Tanguay's fault. In fact, you should have Tanguay and Dinklage do like a read-off.
Oh, man.
Have the two of them do like deep voice reading at each other.
Ooh, we should undertake that for sure.
Yes, yeah. Fitzy, what do you got?
So last night, me and my better half were looking for a movie to watch, and I had heard, you know, I'm a fan of the guy that Greg Hill always loves to troll as American legend Tom Hanks, American treasure. And now I'll watch Tom Hanks in anything. And I especially love his period work. Obviously, Saving Private Ryan, fabulous understated performance, Road to Perdition, The Green Mile.
Oh, I love Road to Perdition.
Look at me, sure. I'm the captain now.
Bit of a slow burn, but
really. Do you love Road to Perdition? I think Road to Perdition is one of the most underrated movies of the last 20 years.
Yeah, and it was a comic book, too, or it was a graphic novel or whatever, and they made it, and it's probably the most against type that Tom Hanks plays ever.
And it's incredibly shot, great soundtrack, directed by Sam Mendes, great theater director who's turned into a hell of a Hollywood director, and one of the final performances from Paul Newman. And I would have watched Paul Newman read the ingredients to Cheez-Its or read the phone book or whatever. My favorite actor of all time. So anyway, there's a new movie available for rent that probably should have gone to cinemas, directed by Paul Greengrass, who did a couple of the Bourne movies. Very excellent director, kinetic cinema. It's called News of the World. And so my wife and I watched News of the World last night. Absolutely loved it. Absolutely really? Loved it.
See, is this just on demand? I where
see
is this?
It. Yeah, I want to see it, but the $20 tab to rent it is pushing me away.
But you know, the funny thing is, though, Dale, like when you have your own, like by the time, even if you went to a good cinema pub, and good Lord, would I love to go to like a cinema pub again, or just to a movies, period. But like your own popcorn, your own beers, your own snacks, even if you pay the $20 freight.
It's a philosophical thing for me. It's ridiculous.
Understood.
I see that pricing. Wait a minute. If I wait another week, it's going to go down to $5.99 like it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Sure. And then if you wait 3 months, it'll be available at Redbox, or it'll be on demand or whatever. Yes, I understand. But just, you know, don't expect so much that, you know, it's not even like True Grit. It's a slow burn. It's slow moving. He just
plays.
Well,
this was the movie he was making when he got COVID, right?
I believe so, yes.
I think that was where he was in Australia doing stuff for this movie when he got COVID.
Mm-hmm. He basically just plays a guy who, back in the Old West, post-Civil War, so we're kind of in the Reconstruction period, and he's down in Texas, and everything is kind of lawless, and they're very still pro-Confederate and anti-Union. He goes from town to town bringing newspapers from all the towns back east and wherever he's traveled, and he reads to people that are uninformed, because there's no way for mass news to travel, or people that just don't read, and he brings them the news of the world. And then he gets involved in a thing with a child who loses her parents, and it's a bit of an adventure. Again, like I said, it's a Western, and I love Westerns, and especially ones that aren't just like the classic, like, shoot 'em up style. Like, there are a million different stories to be told from the Wild West and post-Reconstruction, post-Civil War, so I give highest recommendations to it. I thought it was an excellent movie.
Should we let John get in here real
quick? Yeah, John's got a movie that I also liked, so I'll let John go ahead and
This came out last Friday. I think it's only on HBO Max for a couple more weeks. You have to watch it quick, and it's going to win all kinds of awards. Judas and the Black Messiah, the story of, is his name Fred Coleman?
Hampton.
Fred Hampton. Fred Hampton, the chair of the Illinois chapter of the Black Panthers, I believe. Ooh. You've got Daniel Kaluuya from Get Up, background character in Black Panther. He's playing
not the ESPN show Get Up, but
Get Out. Sorry.
Yeah, Jordan Peele.
Get Out.
Daniel Kaluuya from the Greg Hill show.
Get on
when
up.
He argues against Dominique Foxworth about the top corner in the draft is the best.
That's where you might know him from.
And then Lakeith Stanfield plays Bill O'Neill in it, who famously was an FBI informant who eventually was the reason why the Black Panthers were taken down. And it's an interesting movie because the history of the Black Panthers is not very well known, I think, mainly because it was erased by certain administrations. But yeah, this movie is being hailed. Dominique Fishback is in it as well. And between her, Lakeith Stanfield, and Daniel Kaluuya, there are some Oscars to go around for this movie.
And Jesse Plemons was really, really good.
Oh, yeah. Jesse Plemons is like an
everything.
A-list actor. Now he's cast in the new Leo movie with Martin Scorsese.
Yeah. Oh, he's the man.
And Gary Tangway.
And Gary Tangway.
And Tanger. You got Plemons in there. Yeah, Plemons is fantastic.
That's amazing.
Yeah, this movie was really good, though. I watched this one, too. And best movie of the year so far. There's only been 2 months of movies. I've seen like 8 movies that have come out so far. Definitely the best one. I had known a little bit about Fred Hampton. I didn't know he was 21 years old when like all of this happened.
There's a Fred Hampton cinematic universe starting right now because he was also sitting. He was in the trial of the Chicago 7, sitting behind Bobby Seale in court.
Yeah, right. Pretty good. All right, I got. I'll nominate something here. It's very different. It's a psychological thriller series, but it's only 6 episodes, called Behind Her Eyes. It's more of a talk. I wouldn't say it's the greatest show ever, but it's worth having a discussion about. But I can't really do that now without spoiling it. So it's worth, if you have a weekend, you're looking for a show to watch, they're all like 45, 55 minute episodes. There's 6 of them.
Is this Netflix?
It's on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is a single mother enters a world of twisted mind games when she begins an affair with her psychiatrist boss while secretly befriending his mysterious wife. So it's a bit of a soap, but psychological thriller, some other kind of weird stuff in there as well. I enjoyed it. I think it probably could have been like 4.5 episodes, not 6, but whatever. It was 6, and I ripped through it last weekend when it came out.
Same could have been said for The Undoing as well. I kind of wish that only went 5, not
shorten
6.
Shorten that up.
Yeah, the finale was such a disappointment. I did forget to mention, gentlemen, that I was so particularly excited to watch a grown-up adult movie last night, like News of the World, because tonight... it's pizza party night because my two boys are dying to watch Tom and Jerry on HBO Max. So
nice.
Let me know how that is.
You've got the Max as well.
I do. I might give it a go.
Dale, I just need to sneak this in before we get up the break because I know we're up against it. Has anyone else on this program watched the show that rhymes with Smitt's Creek?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
It's my wife's favorite. I couldn't get into it early on.
I love it as much as everybody else in my house.
Shime's obsessed with it.
Yeah.
I'm borderline obsessed with it a weekend. I'm putting away 4 episodes a night right now on Netflix. I can't stop. I legitimately can't. I laugh out loud. I haven't laughed out loud like this. Like I told you, Ted Lasso is my spirit animal.
Yeah.
But I laugh out loud at every single episode of the show. Catherine O'Hara needs to have a wing at the television museum named after her. She's so damn good in this show.
I'll give you one more then, Fitzy.
Okay.
And it's a weird comedy series, and you got to fight your way through the Irish accents. Pull up Derry Girls on Netflix as well.
Derry Girls, okay.
Filmed in Northern Ireland. Mm-hmm. Huge hit in the UK.
Sure.
Do you go subtitles on, or do you figure it out?
No, I try to slog through the Irish accent because it is thick at times. Yeah. But pretty funny, and I think you like that one as well because you got a sick sense of humor. Coming up next, what else you got? Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Dale and Keefe.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
All right, let's get to a couple of things we might have missed earlier in the program.
What else you got?
Fitzy.
All right, Dale, you know, every now and again I like to bring to the what else you got and here on the program random bits of nostalgia and before we've played commercials. I love old commercials, especially when they were so personality and star driven and it didn't have to be much, just someone kind of doing their thing, opining for love, well compensated of a product. John Madden was great when he did the Miller Lite commercials, but I bring you this which somebody unearthed the other day. Here is the great Sammy Davis Jr. saying nothing and conveying everything in an ad for Suntory Whiskey.
Damn, 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 damn. Suntory.
Might have been sampling the Suntory prior to filming.
Who in the what now?
remember Suntory, the whiskey that was mentioned in the Bill Murray movie? But remember that one, Lost in Translation? Suntory whiskey.
Okay.
Remember? Yeah.
Right.
So Sammy Davis Jr. does an ad for this like 40 some odd years ago, and it's literally just him scatting for 57 seconds. Then he just drops the name, and that's it. Great
Sold.
Random find. So exactly right.
I'll have some.
Take my money, please.
What else you got?
Rich?
Well, Dale, sometimes we do This Day in Sports during this part of the program, and this is, without a doubt, the greatest quote in the history of sports is the 9-year anniversary of this.
That's another 5! Are you kidding me? That's right! Who do you think you are? I am! David Wright!
Pete Weber capturing his 5th U.S. Open title, and then just screaming nonsense after the fact.
Who do you think you are? I am.
I still yell that. Who do you think you are? I am. That is one of the great quotes of all time. They ended up being a spoof about this involving Tim Robinson from I Think You Should Leave. He did it. I forget what show it was. Was it the great documentary show. Now? Or maybe it was a one-off where they basically took the guys that were involved in this match, and one of them played Pete Weber, and it was... Of course, he had a different saying, which I can't say on the air.
Who do you think you are? I am.
Can't be Pete. Can't be Pete. Who do you think you are? I am. Every time somebody tweets the video on Twitter, I have to watch it. And I laugh every single time.
What else you got?
So we've all been a little puzzled about the Cal McNair situation with the Houston Texans. Michael Silver's got a podcast. Recently, he had Sage Rosenfels as a guest on the podcast, and Sage Rosenfels offers some new information about Cal McNair.
I got really nothing bad to say about Cal McNair. But one time, my first year there, I was talking to David Carr about this. And David had just come from Cal's office, I think, at the point. I'm like, what's Cal like? He's like, well, I walk into his office and he's sitting on the floor. There's no desk or anything. No. And there's this huge TV on the wall and he's playing video games. And that's like my only really like behind the curtain Cal McNair story, other than that he was a really nice guy. But I have no idea what he actually did.
Yep.
There you go.
He has no furniture and he plays video games on the floor.
Nice guy, but nobody knows what he does. And he's the reason Deshaun Watson wants the hell out of Houston.
He reads at a third grade level, but he is a great guy.
goes to the bathroom in a litter box, but otherwise, fantastic person.
Like, people make fun of Mark Davis all the time. Like, I'm not sure Cal McNair is any better than him.
Nope.
He's much worse. At least, oh my God, he's sitting on the floor, no furniture.
Playing video games.
Just at work, playing video games. I mean, what does he really have to do? You own the team. He just walks out of his office. He's supposed to have a meeting with the quarterback. He's playing video games on the floor. Oh, I love it.
You guys enjoy your weekend. We'll all be back together again on Monday. I've got Bruins hockey tonight. OMF is coming up next. We'll see you later. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.